Welcome to the weekly Fantasy Launch Podcast. This week, Kevin and I argue about Lasting's millage, one of the most prolific hitters of our time, injuries, and some guys who aren't quite performing up to par. I'm Brandon, known as Ritz at the Lounge, alongside my partner Kevin, otherwise known as the Fantasy Guru.
We start off in Texas, where a closing situation long thought to be solved seems just as sticky as ever. Brandon, let's slow it down here.
Alright, well, Francisco Cordero has gotten the last two saves. The last one was Wednesday. That was interesting because Akinora Otsuka pitched a perfect eighth in a 2-0 game where Texas was down, so there was no save situation, but he was in possibly just to get some work. And then the Rangers happened to score 4 in the ninth, so they really had no other option but to send Cordero in. So you have to wonder if that was just a by-chance save. The other was in a 4-run lead, so, you know, maybe Buck wants to give him another shot or something and just felt like put him in with a 4-run lead. I mean, it's pretty hard to blow a 4-run lead without really screwing up.
Yeah, so. Well, this is interesting because, you know, Otsuka's, he's really good, been outstanding so far. His ERA is in the low twos, and I don't think he's blown a save all year, so.
I think he's blown one or two, maybe.
Yeah,
that's it.
And, well, that's a, you know, Cordero's blown 5 or 6 or whatever it is, so, you know, I think Otsuka's still the better option to have. I'm not sure what, Buck is doing here, but
we've always wondered that, but I don't know. The book is still out on this. If Cordero's a free agent in your league and you got an empty spot, maybe a DL, you know, because half the league's going down on injuries, maybe you pick him up if there's nobody else better. I don't know. It's a tough situation right now.
I guess we'll probably find out in the next couple of days or so.
Yeah, just keep an eye on the situation too. I mean, if you see Otsuka coming in for a save, you know, then I think it's no doubt he's still the closer. I think Cordero's really got to work hard to re-earn the job back because he's been horrible.
Yeah, but I don't think it's time quite yet to pick up Cordero. I think he.
Well,
just
I think
to,
only if, just, if you have a good an open spot,
right.
Nobody else really.
Let's just wait and see what happens here.
Yeah, we'll make sure to keep you updated on that. One of the higher-profile fantasy call-ups this year has been Mets rookie Lasting's millage. Owners have been jumping all over him, hoping he has a lasting impact on their teams. Kevin, what do you think of this kid?
Well, me and Eve actually got to see him a lot, quite a bit lately, because the Diamondbacks played the Mets in New York, and now they're playing here in Arizona. He looks like a very good young player so far, 21 years old. And he's the Mets' top prospect. He was a 12th overall pick in 2003. So he's a very good young player.
Yeah, he was called up on May 30th, and he's hitting .300 with 2 home runs and just 30 at-bats. You know, he's a quick guy. He's a little bit like, he almost reminds you of Reyes a little bit. You know, he had that one incident where he hit the home run with the fans and everything. Personally, I don't see what the big deal about that was. I mean, the kid, he's enthusiastic. I mean, what more can you ask for? I don't really see a problem with it. But you know, as far as his playing goes, he's playing just as well as any rookie out there that has so far this year.
Yeah, he's if you're in a keeper league, he's a must pick up because
he's probably too late because just about everybody's picking him up.
Well, right, but if he hasn't been picked up yet, pick him up. But this guy, like I said, he's 21 years old. He's going to be a He should be a star for years to come. You know, teams have been asking the Mets for him in trades. You know, they want if they you know want a pitcher or something. They'd probably be asking for him at the deadline, and I don't think the Mets would be getting him up. I mean, he was a career .313 hitter in the minors, and he had 60 stolen bases, and he hits for power. He steals bases average. He's runs you know outstanding. He plays really good defense. If you didn't see it last night, he made that pretty amazing catch where he bobbled it and caught it with his hand last night. So
yeah, he's up for a while now. I mean, Nady went down and he was playing really well. It's going to be interesting when he comes back to see who keeps the job or takes the job. I don't know if Nady's going to have his job back or if you know I don't really know what they can do with you know they got Beltran and Floyd still out there in the outfield, so they really can't move anybody.
It'll probably be a platoon situation. I mean, if Floyd continues to struggle and this guy continues to hit, you have to give this guy the playing time. Maybe you trade Floyd at the deadline, or
for Tina, he's an outfielder. That's definitely not a good situation for fantasy owners picking up Millage, because we don't know how the situation's going to pan out. But you know, there is always a possibility that the Mets will make a trade. I could see them trading one of their outfielders just so they can start Millage. I mean, getting some pitching back or something like that they could use.
Yeah, I agree. Dodgers closer Eric Gagne recently returned to record his first save since last season. Good news, right? Well, yes, but not the aftermath of the save. Brandon, what's the latest here?
Well, Gagne reported soreness in his elbow, and he had an MRI this week, and it revealed quite a bit of swelling, but there was no structural damage, which is good. The manager says that he's reported to be shut down for at least 3 days, and he's going to take anti-inflammatory shots. You know, you kind of expected this with this guy. He's just came off a major elbow reconstructive surgery. Hasn't had a save in, you know, I don't know, how long was it? Almost a year?
Yeah, it was over a year.
Yeah, and his velocity is back, so you got to expect that.
Well, yeah, I would think, for what you said, pitching that long and not having some soreness. So having soreness is probably normal. So, no, I don't think it's anything to be too concerned about. I mean, he'll be shut down for a couple of days, and I think he'll be fine and, be close to the form that he was before. I mean, you know, it's pretty hard to get to that back to that form he was. I mean, he was, you know, for 2-3 years, he was probably quite possibly the most dominant closer of all time, so.
And we all know how pitchers are with their little injuries, you know.
Right.
A guy gets a small blister and he could hit the DL. Pitchers are just like that. I mean, probably the wimpiest position in all of sports, you could say. But, I don't know, it's good. He's only walked one guy and had given up no hits in 2 games, and he struck out, I think, 3 in 2 innings. So, you know, and his velocity's back. That's a good sign.
Right.
I'm sure he'll be back. He'll be fine within a week.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe the injury flares up and, you know, he can't get back, but, you know, maybe go back on the DL. What will the Dodgers do with their closer situation?
Baez is the closer.
Or Sato, the guy they had, he gave a couple save opportunities. I don't know.
Worst case situation.
I think Baez will have the job till Gagne comes back in a couple days.
Probably. And the worst case situation is he hits the DL for probably 15 days and he comes back right when he's expected to. And it'll be retroactive to a couple days ago from now anyway. So
he'll be fine.
You expect like a week and a half maybe at most.
I agree.
I wouldn't think much more than that. One recurring topic popping up all over the lounge is, do I drop Willingham yet? People left and right are dropping him, but many are still holding out hope for him to come back strong. Kevin, do you think he'll be back?
I think this is where he's going to stay out the rest of the year. Around 260. He's in a poor lineup, so it's going to be tough for him to drive in runs and score runs and stuff like that. But expect by the end of the year, around 20 home runs for him, maybe, you know, 60, 65 RBIs around there and hitting the 260s. I don't expect anything big from him.
Yeah, a lot of guys, you know, they were down on him about early week, and then he had those 2 straight home run games, and now, you know, everybody's like, ooh, maybe I should pick him up. I don't know. He's overrated, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people overrate catchers. Catchers are probably the weakest hitting position in all of baseball, other than pitcher, of course. And they get hot, just as any other players do, and they slump, and you really can't expect much more. I mean, there's only a few catchers in the league that you should really expect to have in your lineup every day and rely on for any kind of production. I mean, you got guys like Posada, and so far this year, Mauer, guys like that. Even Veritek is struggling this year.
Yeah.
It's just the way catchers go, and a good strategy to use is just pick up, drop every time someone gets hot, someone goes cold. I mean, a lot of people do that with catchers, and right now I would drop him for the hot hand.
Well, I think what people like about him is that he's got He's got catcher eligibility as well as outfield eligibility. So
yeah, but I mean, who's going to play this guy in their outfield?
Well, I mean, you can play him in the utility spot, or if you know, a lot of times catchers only play, you know, five days a week. So you have an extra catcher on your bench where you can actually start him. And,
yeah, but usually you don't know until game time that they're not going to start. Well, so I've never been.
Or if you have a guy like I had in the money league or in our money league, Veritek. Of course, you know, he's not going to catch against Wakefield. I mean, there's certain catchers who don't catch for certain pitchers.
But I don't know. I just think, you know.
Not this guy. I mean, you know, he's nothing.
Honestly, I think he's overrated. And I don't know. I would right now, if I had him, I would probably drop him for someone hot. I mean, depending.
He was just nice to have earlier in the year because he was hitting over 300 and he's producing driving in runs and hitting home runs and stuff.
Yeah.
So he was a nice, reliable option in the beginning of the year, but not now. One guy everybody's rooting for is Ken Griffey Jr. He seems healthy this year and is on a tear. Brandon, is this the type of season going to continue?
I sure hope so, and I think it can. I think he looks healthier than ever. I mean, the one thing, you don't see him diving all over the place like he used to. I think he's kind of learned. I mean, every time he even, you know, there's a little hitch in his step, he tends to pull a hamstring or something. I mean, right now he's hitting 298, and he's raised his average about 55 points since the 27th of May. And he's hitting home runs and getting hits, and he just looks healthy, and that's the key for him.
Yeah, well, everybody knows the story on him. Can't stay healthy, but he actually missed about a month earlier in the year, and he's raised his average quite a bit. He was hitting in the 220 range in middle May. Now he's hitting almost 300.
Yeah, he was looking almost like a Giambi type hitter. You know, he either hits homers or doubles or gets out or strikes out.
Right.
I mean, lately just singles, everything. I mean, he's doing everything, and he's one of the hotter hitters in baseball over the last week.
Yeah, he's on an 8-game hitting streak, and he's 16 for his last 36 during the streak with 4 home runs and 8 RBIs. So he's really producing. And I think he can still keep this up. I mean, he's in a solid lineup with Adam Dunn and Kearns and everything.
He's going to score runs and drive in runs. You know, it's just going to be...
Yeah, that lineup will score runs. They'll give up the share runs as well. But
the average is the only real area of concern besides, obviously, his health. But, I mean, he seems healthy this year. I think this is the first year in the last probably 5 years we can actually say Ken Griffey Jr. looks healthy and he looks good. And I don't know. I think it's a good situation right now for him to be in.
And, you know, if he wouldn't have all those injuries, we probably would be talking to him with Bonds, chasing the home run record. You know, it's the, you know, what could have been situation if he wouldn't have stayed healthy. And he's a face. It's good to see him like this because, you know, he's clean of everything. And to produce like this at his age is pretty cool to see.
After hitting 24 home runs last year, Indians shortstop Johnny Peralta has struggled so far, hitting a dismal .233. Many owners are stuck not knowing what to do with him. Kevin, what would you do with him?
Well, right now, I'd bench him. I mean, he's in a major, major slump right now. 3 for his last 31. And he's only hit 300. The last time he hit 300 was early in early April. He's hitting .233 now. So, people put him... Might have put a little too much pressure on him early in the year. I mean, he is in his second full year. He did have a very nice year last year.
Well, he hit .292, and
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think as fantasy owners, we tend to get really high on somebody and expect a lot more than they really may be capable of. And I don't know if he's capable of hitting .292. Maybe he's not. I mean, I know everybody loves the guy and thinks that he's just one of the, you know, he's the next big shortstop. But I mean, maybe he's not. It might be. He might be worth dropping. I know a lot of people would think I'm crazy for saying that, but he's shown no signs of life. And I think right now, if you have him, it might be good to trade him for whatever you can possibly get, which honestly isn't going to be a whole lot. I mean, but then again, if you're a person that thinks that's pretty high on him, I mean, obviously, Cleveland fans, you've seen him. You know what's up. I'm sure if you see something in him, I mean, he might also be worth buying low. I don't know. It's an interesting situation, but I don't know if he's really worth what people are making him out to be.
He is actually, you know, he was sitting in the third spot, and he's actually dropped this earlier this week. He dropped to, you know, the 7th-8th spot.
He's really the only weak link in that whole lineup.
I guess Eric Wedge is trying to get him going any way he can, any way possible. and below guys that are, you know, hitting really well right now. I don't know. This guy's, you know, he's a frustrating have on their team. I mean,
if he got his average up to about 280, he could probably drive. He could probably still drive in 70 runs this year. He drove in
78 last year.
Yeah,
so.
He could easily drive in 70, maybe even 80 runs this year if he would just, you know, even just hit 280, 275. That lineup is so good offensively, and they really haven't even clicked yet. I think, you know.
Yeah.
If he comes around at all, he's going to be an RBI and run machine.
One of the really interesting things about him, he's still, you know, he has a .233 average, and then his on-base percentage is low, but he's still got 40 runs, which is pretty darn good.
Well, it's hard not to score that many runs in that team. I mean, even if he walks, you know, twice, I mean, if he walks once a game, he's probably going to score at least a run.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, I think he'd be, you know, he'd be a solid player again, contributor, if he just got his average up and his on-base percentage up. You know, it's still early on in the year, but I don't know. Wait and see on him. Possibly the most bizarre stories come out of Colorado this year, where Todd Helton has just 4 home runs. Brandon, what's up with that?
I wish I knew. I mean, it's not like he's just slumping. He's hitting .275. Recently, he had a stretch where he hit in 15 of 17 games. It's not like he's not getting hits. He's just not hitting home runs. It's bizarre. I mean, you almost have to try not to hit home runs in Coors Field. I mean, pitchers go there and hit home runs. Like, what, Mike Hampton a few years ago, he had, what, 4 or 5?
Yeah,
runs?
Yeah, he's
like
a very good hitting pitcher.
Well, yeah, but I mean, still, come on, he's not Todd Helton, and Todd Helton has 4 home runs. We're not used to this. I think he's going to, you know, end up hitting his home runs because he's getting the hits. It's just weird.
It's, you know, remember he got that big, huge contract a couple years back. And I don't know, it's just his home run total has been going down. I mean, he had 32-0, 420 last year and 4 this year. So
I almost wonder if he's just unlucky. I mean, how do you not hit home runs in Coors Field when you're Todd Helton?
Yeah, and he's got a nine.
He's hitting .275.
Yeah, and he's got a 9-game hitting streak, and he's got his on base percentage is over 40%. So
we know he's not, hitting .275 because of his speed, and he's not, you know, getting cheap base hits. He's definitely getting legitimate base hits. That's why he's hitting .275. But it's bizarre. I don't know. This is a strange situation.
Doesn't he have some sort of, I think if I'm right, if I'm correct, doesn't he have sort of some chronic back injury or?
I still don't believe that it's an injury or anything like that because he's hitting .275.
He had a sickness, what was it? He had a stomach ailment or something.
Missed a little.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. That was a weird situation there. But
he just, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what to think about this. I think he's going to come around, though.
Yeah, I think, you know, he'll still hit for, you know, solid average and driving runs and score runs and have a good on-base percentage. But I don't know what to tell you about the home run situation.
Well, just another injury for Yankee fans to blame this season on is Gary Sheffield. His wrist will be keeping him out a while. Kevin, what's the situation in New York?
Well, he's going to be out 10 to 12 weeks, to September. This definitely means the Yankees are going to go out and get an outfielder.
Yeah, this is exactly
who that is, I don't know yet, but.
Well, they've been talking a lot about, you know, Torrey Hunter, maybe Shannon Stewart, you know, guys like this. I think, you know, Torrey Hunter, this whole Sheffield injury has a lot more implications than Gary Sheffield himself. I think if you can get Torrey Hunter, I mean, there's people dropping him right now. If you can pick him up or trade for him dirt cheap, go for it. He can end up in a Yankee jersey, and he'll score a boatload of runs if he does get traded to the Yankees, and I think there's a good possibility. You know, you keep hearing these rumors about guys going to the Yankees. They're all decent risks to take because I still don't think the Yankees have clicked yet, you know, kind of like the Indians, they haven't quite clicked yet, but when they do, you know, whoever they pick up is going to be a beneficiary of that, and they're going to drive in runs and they're going to score runs.
Yeah, at first, Cashman and the front office in Sheffield decided on physical therapy.
And you know
that didn't work out, and then now they've decided on surgery.
Yeah, you know it's got to be bad.
I think that's what they should have done in the first place. You know, back when the injury occurred.
Sheffield's a gamer, so you know this is bad.
Yeah, and you know it's his contract year, so you know he wants to get out there and play and prove himself.
Yeah,
pick up the option on his contract. So, like you said, Torrey Hunter. I don't know, but I'd rather see. See Shannon Stewart over Torrey Hunter. It's just, you know, who would play center field? Would it be Damon? Would Damon move to left and Torrey playing center? I don't know. You gave all that money to Damon to be your center fielder, and then you go out and get Hunter. I don't know. I don't know how that whole situation will work out.
There's even whispers about, you know, Soriano.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
We know that. I mean, the Nationals would be plain stupid to keep him, because they know, they're pretty sure he's not going to re-sign. He already said he wanted out, so he's not going to re-sign with them, so why would they hold on to that contract all year when they could trade him and get quite a bit of value? They could trade him to the Yankees, you know. I don't know what they would get for him, but I could see him going to the Yankees.
Here's the thing. The Yankees don't want to give up any of their top prospects. They've said that throughout this whole time, during the injury.
They don't have a whole lot to trade.
They won't trade Phillip Hughes, they won't trade Cabell, they won't trade Wong. They won't trade Duncan. I don't think their offense is in dire need, to be honest with you.
No, but we know Steinbrenner, and we know what he's going to do, and he, you know.
Because Melky Cabrera is solid. I really like him a lot.
Okay, but honestly, well, but I mean, he's not Matsui, and he's not Sheffield.
Well, I know, but
and
I don't A-Rod think
he's not hitting A-Rod like. I mean, he's hitting what? I mean, 280, almost 300, but still. It took him this long to get up to that, and then he had to get hot just to get there. He was hitting in the 260 area before. I mean,
well, yeah, I agree with you. But the amazing thing during this whole thing is that the Yankees are still half a game up on the Red Sox
a team full of all stars. You need to be, and
Had every guy, every position player out this year. I mean, Damon's not even healthy. He has a toe injury and a shoulder injury, so he's not healthy. Jeter's out. Jeter's not healthy. He's got the thumb and.
It just seems like
A-Rod was sick last week.
The last few years, you know, Steinbrenner's been a little different than he was before. I mean, he wants to plug every hole.
Right.
And I'm actually a little surprised they haven't plugged this hole or Matsui's hole, you know, yet. I think they will, though.
Cashman said that they're not going to panic, so. On the mailbag this week, this week's mailbag question comes from TennisKid808. He writes, what do you expect out of Cole Hamels this season, and how about his entire career?
Well, Hamels pitched the other night here on Tuesday in Arizona, and I watched the game, and if you haven't seen him pitch, this kid is a carbon copy of Barry Zito. He's got the, you know, the three-quarters delivery, he's got a live fastball. He was throwing, you know, consistently 95, 94. And his changeup is probably his best pitch. Not only that, he's almost got a Barry Zito curveball going on. I mean, this kid looks sharp. If he stays healthy, this kid is going to have a great season and career. To start the game off against, I think Eric Burns led the game off, and he was, you know, as hot as hot can be around Tuesday. And he made him look horrible. And he started off the game with, like, 12 straight strikes or something like that. He's just coming at hitters and saying, here, hit this, and they're not hitting it because he changes speed so well.
Well, that's the question. Can he stay healthy? I mean, we talked about this last week. He's had the elbow and shoulder injuries, and he's had only 28 career minor league starts. That's the thing. Can he stay healthy? I mean, his stuff is electric. He's got electric stuff. And like you said, he looks exactly like Barry Zito. Barry Zito is one of his idols he looks up to, and he pitches exactly like them. They went to school in the same area, in the San Diego area. So, 22 years old, and he's got all the talent in the world to be, the next great young pitcher in the major leagues, like Lariano and Verlander and guys like that in the majors. So,
well, he said he shouldn't have even gone on the DL, probably because the Phillies kind of freaked out, and I mean it's understandable with his history. But he said the next day he felt, you know, perfectly fine after that. So I don't know. you know, the Phillies definitely kind of freaked out a little bit too early, probably. But he said he probably shouldn't even have gone on the DL, so that's a good sign. I mean, you know, we're going to have to wait a little bit, you know. He's only had a few starts this year. I mean, what is it, four starts? Three starts?
Three starts.
Yeah, three, so... you know, I don't know if injuries are really going to be an issue, but it's just something to watch out for.
Yeah, I think they were just being cautious. I mean, this guy's the future arm of your organization, and you don't want to do anything to screw it up. So, being on a DL for 15 days, it could only help him, get him some rest. So, expect a big second half from this guy, and, He's a great guy to have in keeper leagues. A great guy to have in keeper leagues. So watch out for him the rest of the year.
All right, guys. Well, that's gonna do it for this week's show. Be sure to check us out online at www.fantasyloungeforums.com and send in mailbag questions via personal message or email at admin@fantasyloungeforums.com.
Have a good week, guys.